Head-to-head presidential elections are usually left for the Americans, but could we see one again for the first time in 50 years in Ireland this November? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain. I'm Sean Defoe, and don't forget to subscribe wherever it is you're listening. Maybe roasting outside this week, but it's fair to say the presidential election has not exactly been heating up. We've just got two people on the ballot so far, a bunch of outsiders looking for a nomination that don't necessarily have a path to one, and two parties in Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin who can't make up their mind what they are doing. So as of recording, just two on the ballot, which got me wondering, like, what if no one else actually gets a nomination? There have been 14 Irish presidential elections up to now. In six of those, there was no contest for one reason or another. Parties didn't run. Only one candidate went forward. A further three of those were head-to-heads. So just two candidates duking it out. And then there were five contests down through the years that had multiple people running in them. The first of those, the first with multiple candidates, was 1945. That was the election won by Sean T. O'Kelly of Fianna Fáil. And then that didn't actually repeat, there being three again, until 1990, the Mary Robinson election. There were then five candidates in 97, a record seven in 2011, and six last time around in 2018. So this thing of there being loads of candidates in the field and multiple podiums when you get to the debates, that's actually a pretty new thing. It's really only the last three or four elections that have had multiple candidates, and it's become more of a thing in the modern era. That's understandable. There's more parties. We're more politically split than we ever were before, and there's more independents who have been getting supports and getting a nod. But the three times that we want to talk about today, 1959, 1966 and 1973, so actually three in a row, three presidential elections in a row, and there was just that presidential head-to-head. And you might be asking, oh, look, is this likely? Is it actually going to happen? I think if you put a gun to my head, I would still say there will be someone else on the ballot. But it's not beyond the realm of possibility that we will get a head-to-head between Mairead McGuinness of Fine Gael and independent Catherine Connolly. And wouldn't that be fascinating? Left wing versus white ring, European, I don't want to say royalty, that's probably speaking her up, but like Mairead McGuinness has been at the centre of Europe as an MEP and European Commissioner, as a close ally of Ursula von der Leyen for quite a few years. On the other hand, Catherine Connolly, who's building her campaign really on grassroots supports of Gaza. Questionable how much that has to do with the presidential election, of course, but that is where her main selling point lies. Quite left-wing as well, both quite different candidates, but very strong female politicians. So could they be the only two on the ballot? Well, if you look at Fianna Fáil, I think Micheál Martin possibly does want to run somebody, but nobody that's been out there at the minute. I mean, does he want to run Bertie Ahern? I don't think so. Mary Hannafin? Don't really think so. Peter Power, maybe, but I don't see him winning an election. So you have to put the calculation in for Fianna Fáil. Do you run a candidate for the first time since 1997? 21st century Fianna Fáil has not had a presidential candidate. It's, you know, for a party that just won a general election, that won a Shannon election, that's the largest party in local government. Pretty big thing if you just say, no, we're okay, we don't think we can win a presidential election, especially with the history that Fianna Fáil has with the office. So you would think on that front you put someone forward. On the other hand, Micheál Martin's a pragmatist. Does he feel he has anyone who can beat Mairead McGuinness? And is he willing to bet 300,000-500,000 euro on that after already having the expenses of two elections just last year alone, which are very, very expensive things for a political party? So there is a very open question. If Micheál Martin feels he cannot win it with any candidate that he might put forward, will he just step back? And then the same for Sinn Féin. Mary Lou McDonald is the one who's been talked about. A lot of her TDs that I'm speaking to don't think that's very likely. It's sort of a tacit admission that they don't think she can be Taoiseach and they want her in the Dáil. Ultimately, I don't think Michelle O'Neill is a runner. She might be an okay name on the ballot, but then you're effectively saying the first ever Republican Northern Ireland First Minister doesn't want to be in that office anymore because they'd rather have another job in the Republic of Ireland. Don't think that looks good, and I don't think John Finucane has a hope in hell of winning it. So do they back Catherine Connolly? And then you take all the risk out of it and you have no Sinn Féin candidate. Fair enough, not always ideal for a party of their size, but if she loses, she was an independent. If she wins, you backed the right horse and there's another left-wing president in an election that doesn't have a whole pile of jeopardy after November anyway. It's not like people are going to massively remember a Sinn Féin president, although it would be a seminal benchmark for them. And then going through the council route, like, look, Michael Flatley, he's not going to get a nomination. Conor McGregor is sure as hell not going to get a nomination. There's this guy, Gareth Sheridan, who may potentially get a nomination. The businessman, he seems to think he has the support. I'm not sure. I think he seems to be relying on the abstentions of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil councillors, which I don't necessarily see happening. So suddenly you can see how it becomes very difficult. Peter Casey, the same. He got a council nomination last time. I don't think a lot of councillors knew how much of a head case he was up until that, so he could well get a nomination, but I think it less likely than it was in 2018. And all that leaves me looking around going, unless the two big parties decide they want to run somebody, this could well be a head-to-head race. So let's travel back to the 1950s when the first head-to-head presidency came into view. The first president of Ireland, Douglas Hyde, had been chosen by popular acclamation, but the race to be his successor was contested by three men in 1945. The eventual victor, Sean T. O'Kelly for Fianna Fáil, Sean McGowan for Fine Gael, and independent Patrick McCartan. No one challenged O'Kelly when he sought a second term, and so for the first 21 years of the state, there was only one true contest, which brings us to 1959, which marked the first and only time a sitting Taoiseach has sought the Oireachtas. Éamon de Valera had been the leader of Fianna Fáil for three decades by that stage, having founded the party in 1926 and spent time as president of the Executive Council of the Irish Free State, and three separate terms as Taoiseach between then and this election that we're talking about. And he was Taoiseach when he decided to seek the nomination to become the President of Ireland. On the other side was a former friend of de Valera and a Civil War opponent, Sean McGowan of Fine Gael. McGowan was a soldier and politician from Longford, who earned the nickname the Blacksmith. And this was the second time that he had contested the presidential election after initially fighting for it in 1945. He was a soldier, politician from Longford. He earned that name, the Blacksmith of Ballinalee, after his exploits heading an IRA flying column. He'd run the family smithy after his father died, but was involved heavily in the military action around that time as well. And in March 1921, he was shot and arrested and sentenced to death for the murder of an RIC district inspector. Here he is speaking about the negotiations to release him from prison.
The British government was to release all members of Parliament. I had been elected to Parliament by this time, you see.
Yes.
You see, we're skipping a lot of incidents that happened. But I was elected to the Dáil, and the British government decided to release every member except myself.
You were the most dangerous.
They put up that I was sentenced to death, and for that, after that, wouldn't release me.
In a Dáil sitting in 1921, McGowan nominated Éamon de Valera as president of the Dáil, but they ended up on opposite sides in the Civil War after McGowan backed acceptance of the Anglo-Irish Treaty. After the war, McGowan served briefly as the Chief of Staff of the Army, but was also involved in politics again as a TD. He was right-wing in viewpoint, he was a member of the Blue Shirts, served as Justice Minister, and like many at the time, his religion strongly influenced his politics, and he opposed a number of new ideas, including the opening of public houses on a Sunday. In 1959, after contesting in 1945, he was back, and with terms as a minister under his belt. That wasn't enough for him to win the office, though. De Valera had enough sway still to comfortably win the election on a margin of 56.3% to 43.7%. All but six constituencies voted in favour of De Valera. Now, after Sean T. O'Kelly being unopposed in his second bid for the presidency, the assumption in Fianna Fáil was that the grand old leader of the party would get the same respect for his coronation to a second term. But Fine Gael had other ideas. After 7 years of Dev as president, they sensed a gap in the market and their chance to win the office for the first time. Much to the fury of the soldiers of destiny, the 1966 presidential election became the second time there was a head-to-head contest for the Oireachtas. 50 years on from the Easter Rising, they thought this was Dev's and Fianna Fáil's by right. Other than the last election in 2018, it remains the only time a sitting president has had their right to a second term challenged by another party. De Valera, by then 84 and the last survivor of the Easter Rising leadership, was advised he should stay above the political fray, with Taoiseach Sean Lamass saying it would be against the spirit of the constitution for Dev to be dragged into the day-to-day political issues which were likely to come up in a presidential campaign. And so De Valera was barely an active participant publicly in his own re-election bid. He didn't give any campaign speeches, he refused to debate his opponent and didn't hold any final rally ahead of polling. His opponent did the complete opposite. Fine Gael's Tom O'Higgins was from a political dynasty, a former health minister and TD for Leigh Shoffaly. His father had been the Minister for Defence and his uncle was assassinated in 1927 while serving as a minister in the Free State Government. O'Higgins toured the country and embraced the more American style of campaigning. The argument was for a new and more youthful president, and just a few years after JFK was shot, the marching bands and countrywide tour seemed to be catching the mood of the nation. He appeared at more than 130 public events, sometimes giving two or three addresses in a day, no mean feat on the back roads of 1960s Ireland. The new style campaigning was possibly best illustrated when he toured Limerick City in a small red open-top sports car while a light aircraft flew overhead and dropped balloons with election slogans. But De Valera was still attending functions as president, and while he wouldn't address the campaign, he was seen at plenty of events marking the rising of 1916, and Fianna Fáil ministers did many of the other hard yards for him. More than 1.7 million manifestos were printed, 120,000 car stickers, and even more posters dotted the country. Fine Gael matched that spend and marketing campaign, but found themselves at a serious disadvantage in the air war because of the way De Valera conducted his business. There were only two candidates and only one actively campaigning. This meant that RTE made a decision not to report on the campaign, meaning none of O'Higgins' speeches garnered him any airtime, but De Valera got mentioned through the coverage of the events he attended as president. Campaign director for Fianna Fáil that year was none other than Charles J. Haughey, and concerned about the feedback he was getting on the ground, Haughey kicked into high gear. 5 days before voting, he went into the Dáil to announce a £5 million package for farmers. He also mobilised a fleet of cars to make sure people were brought to the ballot box to cast their votes. Turnout was just shy of 65%, and De Valera won by just over 10,000 votes, less than 1%. It was so tight that a single vote in every ballot box across the country would have changed the result of the election. Fast forward 7 years and De Valera was out of office for the first time in almost half a century. His term over, Tom O'Higgins once again got the nod to run for Fine Gael and to attempt to wrestle away Fianna Fáil's stranglehold on the office. O'Higgins was installed as the early favourite, his opponent, Erskine Childers of Fianna Fáil. Childers' father had been behind the gun-running boat the Asgard, and he first entered the Dáil himself in 1938 when he was elected to represent Athlone Longford. Over a number of years, he served as a member of the cabinet for Fianna Fáil, and when John Bowman profiled him around the time of the presidential election, he was said to have had the temperament of a kindly family doctor.
I suppose politics to me is rather like gardening. I'm very fond of gardening. When you're a politician, you have a garden to cultivate, and you get enormous satisfaction if you can see the plants grow satisfactorily. And you have your difficulties when they die, when the weeds come up. But that, to me, is the joy of politics.
A characteristic statement metaphor from Erskine Childers. It's very much the statement of a man whose political career has, in the main, been in government, with short periods on the opposition benches.
I've had the good fortune to be 22 years out of 28 years either parliamentary secretary or minister of five departments, so I had plenty of opportunity cultivating the garden in various fields.
Which particular garden gave you most satisfaction?
Oh, the Ministry of Health. But I quickly discovered that the Ministry of Health embraced the whole behaviour of human beings.
This time around, both O'Higgins and Childers had a better claim to capture younger voters than the elderly De Valera, to the point where Childers travelled the country in an augmented campaign bus, which was dubbed by some the Wanderley Wagon.
And so I propose, if I'm elected president, to inspire what I would call, in a general way, social patriotism. And so, I will be one of the younger generation.
He's not the worst of them. He was a good man, Mr. Chauvin, being a minister.
He has been a man of good integrity. And
I think he would make the same kind of president as he was a minister. To a pint dictatorial.
And then I was to start to tell you about what's going to be one of the great problems of the age, and emerging already in England and America, job boredom. Job boredom comes from a better educated group of people going in to do work which inevitably, it appears, for the next quarter of a century, is largely repetitive. And they've already discovered that even though men may be asked to change their jobs in a factory and do other kind of work, and even although the industrial relations in the factory is perfect, one of the advancing psychoses in our life today is the beginning of job boredom.
The combination of Mr. Childers portrays not a very modern image, and the modern idea of a bus cavalcade, I think, is a very good combination.
It's the nicest bus I've ever been on.
If they want to call it a Wanderley wagon, they can. It's just the presidential bus.
It's a matter of a face, I think, really, you know. I like the look of them.
So good ideas, yeah, and to get on well with people, you know. It's good to see you now coming around, chatting to everybody, you know. I like to see that.
The end result, though, another tight victory for Fianna Fáil. O'Higgins was edged out by 2% of the vote this time, rather than the 1% he lost to De Valera. It's the closest anyone from Fine Gael has come to holding the office was O'Higgins in those two elections, until perhaps this November, when Mairead McGuinness enters the campaign as the favourite. Plenty more presidential content coming your way over the next while. I'm also covering Ciara Doherty this week and next on News Talk Daily, where we are looking at whether those living abroad should be given a vote in the presidential election. Not just those in Northern Ireland, but the diaspora as well. Those who are out on Bondi Beach, should they be entitled to vote after leaving the country? So check that out on whatever platform you get your podcast, both News Talk Daily and Let Me Explain. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and I will chat to you soon.